The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I am right here, my darlings, back with you, slightly perturbed by talks of black holes and furry friends, followed by Patrick's deep voice. But today in the show, my loves, we've got a busy one yet again. So much to tell you as I sit here perched on the edge of the Thames at 9:40, 40 minutes past this hour. I really want to go full Oprah Winfrey. No, I don't. Actually, not at all. I never want to see Meghan Markle in my whole life. Why we should stop beating ourselves up. This was inspired by so many women coming back to me after I did a thing on Mothering Sunday here, talking about how they just feel so terrible at the moment. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want you to get involved in the conversation at 9:40, 20 minutes past 20 past, sorry, 9:20. We're going to be doing a little bit more on the Scotland's new First Minister, the leader of Scotland. Guess what he did when he took his first steps into Bute House? He lined up a whole bunch of his Pakistani friends and did an Islamic call to prayer. Well, what do you know? And before that, we'll be heading up the hour with my top three stories of the day. This conversation is nothing without you. This is your platform. This is your time to speak. Do give us a call, get on the check, on the text, and here are the numbers that you will need.
Our lines are open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It certainly is. Free speech is alive and well here. This is a last bastion of hope. This is our place where we can meet and gather and find each other and get chatting. So do join the conversation. And you know what? Don't be shy. I know from back in the day when I was doing radio, so often people would be reluctant to call because they thought they might sound stupid, or they think they don't know enough about a thing to have a view, or they don't want to say the wrong thing. And if I could just say, and I think I demonstrate this perfectly well, there is no wrong thing that you can say. You will never be too stupid. I set the bar very low indeed, and everybody is always welcome. So never, and in life, and we'll touch on this more at 9:40, but never in life put barriers in your own way. Everybody has the right to an opinion. Everybody has the right to be heard. And damn it, so do you. Now, let me just explain to you where I am today. You will know that I dedicate myself to being on the road. I spend my time smearing myself liberally all over the face of this planet, sometimes to get in people's faces, sometimes to be a general annoyance, sometimes to pull headlines with me, and sometimes to try and be a jolly good egg. So I have moved down now from Blackpool, where we were yesterday, staring out into the Irish Sea. And now I am perched, quite literally, like an aged blackbird missing some feathers and possibly missing half the toes on one leg. I am perched splendidly on the back, the very banks of the Thames. And I'm not even exaggerating. As I spin my little head around, I am looking at the Thames. And one surprising thing about the Thames that you may not be aware of is it moves at some speed. I have thought earlier this morning at around five about getting naked and getting in it just to see how speedily I'd be carried off downstream. And then I thought of radio and I thought about the perils of such things and the fact that I cannot abide cold water and decided against it. But it's sort of like a rubber dinghy rapid, but at some speed. I'm in a glorious hotel resort called Monkey Island. This is where incoming mortifier lies, lands directly at the hotel as multiple leaders try and assassinate me. And I am excited to be in the town of Bray, which is home to Heston Blumenthal, you know, the crazy chef who does all sorts of weird, wacky and wonderful things. This is his home here. This is his hometown. So this is where I now find myself. And the glorious hotel staff here who, let me tell you, They are our supporters. They are on team. This is what happens everywhere I go. This is one of the Bray is kind of seen as posh, you know, posh London. But the team here, the waitress staff, the chef, all of the guys, the cleaning lady who I just met in the toilets, they're all super supporters, not just of like me and the stuff I try and do, but of the idea that people should be as free as they can be. And that's how I find this life of mine on the road, is you just keep finding people who are cheering you on. A lady yesterday said to me, "I'm obsessed by you." And you know, that's a glorious thing. They have put me up. I am up a little circular flight of stairs in a little tiny snug, and it's called the whiskey room. And this morning, I got lovely Mark to go and just write to jot down for me, because I'm an absolute ignorant on these matters, other than I understand it's very exciting to people who like whiskey and understand whiskey. So there's a Balvenie 30, which means it, doesn't it? It's been aged for 30 years. Talisker 18. There's a Port Askeg. Is it Askeg? Askeg. Askeg. No, it's definitely not Askeg. Port Askeg. Maybe it's that. A 45. That means it's been aged for 45 years, doesn't it? There's a Glenlivet. I recognise that, 25. And a Glenfiddich, 21. Now, I don't recognise this as being terribly exciting, but lovely Mark found this to be terrifically exciting. He comes from the rough end of the street. So he was surprised that we were being left alone in a room with all of these bottles of fabulous stuff. But that's where you find me, in a whiskey snug at the top of a spiral staircase made of stone, perched on the banks of the Thames. And yet, remarkably, my darlings, we have Wi-Fi. And so I'm giving myself a bonus already. I mean, whether I get one or not, I am giving myself a bonus for making this happen. And some glorious woman just came up and gave me a coffee as well. So that's my good news for this morning, which I promise to bring you laughter, love and light on a daily basis, even though we cover dark news. But now what I want to do is take you, as I always do, to my top three stories of the day. And the toppiest one, the one that's breaking news, is one that actually I think we can all agree we don't really care about. Three people have been arrested after two men were shot dead in what police say were targeted attacks in Cambridgeshire. Shouldn't laugh. But, you know, I do hope those attacks were targeted, because, frankly, if you're wandering about with a shotgun and you managed to specifically kill two individuals at their home addresses, I mean, I'm just going to say it's not going to take Einstein to decide that that may have been targeted. Then if you're capable enough with a shotgun to actually hit two men in their home addresses, you are pretty handy with a shotgun. I say that with some experience of how shotguns work and how in the hands of a naive, you've got not a hope in hell of shooting anything. You're much more likely, for example, to dislocate your shoulder. And the amusing bit about this story, and you can say, Katie, people being shot is not funny. I'd agree with you. But the amusing bit about the reporting of this, because it's always reported by media people who have no idea what a weapon might actually be, let alone having ever fired one. So they're just trying to be outraged by the fact that people are shot. A car that was believed to have been used by the offender was a white Peugeot 208. I don't know. It's not the days of the Wild West, is it? It's not the Italian mafia leaning out of some brilliant black vehicle with big wheels. It's not the days of kind of real street warfare, is it? A Peugeot 208. Goodness me, if I ever become a targeted killer, you know, I'm going to get me a better car than a Peugeot. So you could say, Katie, you shouldn't mock that kind of news, but it's just such a fallacy to imagine there aren't weapons all over the UK. It's such a fallacy to imagine that what people think really goes on in the world really goes on in the world. And it's such a bizarre idea for normal people, normal folk, you know, that have faith in the police and imagine that most people are worrying about whether they should park on a double yellow line or not. There's some pretty big stuff at play going on behind the scenes, guys. And our prisons are run by these same guys who are running around in a white Peugeot at 208 with shotguns, firing them very effectively, if I may. Right, story number two. And it's probably the biggest story in terms of things being spoken about by people who just despair at what's happening to our glorious countries of old, is that it's announced and it's been rumbling in the sidelines for so long. And we've known this was coming, and I've seen this coming in many countries visited on this specific matter. But ex-military bases now to be used as migrant housing in a bid to cut down hotel use. So you may recall earlier in the week, we were speaking about the hotels that have been commandeered by the Home Office, by the government. And they basically give out huge sums of money in order to take over these hotels, lock, stock and barrel, in order to put migrants in them. They're given three meals a day. They have their Wi-Fi. They complain if the Wi-Fi signal is slow. They're not up in a whiskey snug, are they? No, and nor would they be trusted to be, thank the Lord. And they also get spending money, and they also get legal and doctor and dental assistance. Anyway, that's the current plan. Because that the optics of that are bad, and because the locals are getting restless with these hotels that are in our seaside destinations being filled with migrants, the plan is to move more of them to ex-military bases where they'll be held in more rudimentary conditions. They'll be held in more basic accommodation. So the optics will look less bad. Accommodation, this is what Mr. Jenrick told the Commons. Now, let me just get his title right, because I have names for him that probably aren't repeatable on the radio. Immigration Minister, nonetheless, Robert Jenrick. He sees the optics and how bad they look. Accommodation for migrants should meet essential living needs and nothing more, because we cannot risk becoming a magnet for the millions of people who are displaced and seeking better economic prospects. I think a bit late for that, isn't it, son? A bit late to say we can't risk becoming a magnet. I think, given the number of inflatables rocking up on the shoreline of the Kent coast as I speak, we may have all, we're more than just a magnet, aren't we? We're one of those super magnets that can drag people to our shores by their fillings, if they had any. They'll get some once they arrive here because they get free dental care. Anyway, three new sites, military sites, ex-military sites. And of course, the thing is, these military sites have little villages around them. And these little villages used to be home, and still are, to darling military wives and others who are trying to bring up their little children there and are used to living next to ex-military sites. So now you have little tiny villages with perhaps 700 people, many of them young families with young children, and you're going to just dump, because it is dump 1,500, for example, illegals, always young men to be pretending to be something else. And let me just say, from very personal experience, having slept in the jungle at Calais, having been in the lorries that these people get in the back of, having had a car overturned by migrants trying to disrupt traffic, these aren't just regular guys. I mean, I know we know this, but what I'm trying to say is, above and beyond that, it's a competitive thing as an illegal to get to the UK. Only the most ruthless survive. This is survival of the fittest in its truest sense. These are the most dangerous of the dangerous that are coming here and now are going to be plopped in ex-military bases with nothing to do, no transport, no entertainment, nothing other than a basic accommodation, which our fine troops used to live in. And there's young families. A woman, one of the ladies who's near one of these places, saying, I will not allow my children out. I will not allow my children out of my sight. One of these bases is the site of the Dam Busters, which holds such a special place in the hearts of British people. It used to be where the Red Arrows, you know, were based. Ernest Twells, listen to the name on him. Ernest Twells, love him. No, age 77. His father, Ernie, carried out 65 dangerous missions with 617 Squadron. He said, "My dad would be very, very upset that they're going to do this." Oh, gosh. And that's what's happening, you know, to our darling people, and their fathers fought for this country and they're having to watch this happen. And that's why, you know, my heart breaks like glass into a thousand pieces. But my darlings, I will not leave you on the negative. My final story, my top three. We remember yesterday we talked about the digital discouragement campaign against great lads who want to go on a stag weekend to Amsterdam and do terrible things to each other, to ladies, to men, to their kidneys and to their livers, which I totally support. And Amsterdam has a digital discouragement campaign running to tell them to stay away. I've watched the stay away advert and it's just horrible. It basically suggests that the people that are out having fun will end up locked up, banged up, having mugshots taken, fingerprints taken, and their lives will be ruined. The idea is that we get rid of these lovely British men having a brilliant time with alcohol and drugs in Amsterdam and stop them from coming. Or better still, they want to move them out of the centre of Amsterdam, which thrives on exactly this kind of fun behaviour that I'm a supporter of. And they want to move them out to the suburbs. So the equivalent of wherever is your local, you know, industrial site. That's where they want to put them. They want to push them out to the local industrial complex and they want to call it an erotic centre. An erotic centre? They want prostitutes now to work out of an erotic centre in an industrial estate. Is there anything less erotic than an industrial estate? And if you're one of the lads out on the town, are you really then going to get an Uber to an erotic centre? I'm sure I used to have an erotic centre one day, but post-menopause, my darlings, I'm not sure I'd be able to find it anymore. And the same with these lads. How the hell are they supposed to find an erotic centre? But best of all, my sweets, is that the prostitutes are going to come out and protest. They've had enough of it. Furious prostitutes are planning a protest in Amsterdam because they're not happy about the fact that rowdy British men are going to be told to stay away. The prostitutes are cross because this is their living. They don't want people being told to stay away. They have no interest in a digital discouragement campaign. These women are going to come out and protest, and I celebrate you women. Use the assets you have in life. Use what you have to do to get by. You will work hard just as hard as anyone else to try and make ends meet. And you don't need to be out at an erotic centre. You need to be in the heart of Amsterdam where you can be cheered and celebrated and paid a ton of cash to use the body that God gave you. So, if I can stand with the prostitutes in Amsterdam, I'm sure they don't need my haggard little body, wretched body next to them, but I celebrate those women. And on that note of prostitutes rebelling and me standing with them, we are going to pop to a brief break. Don't go anywhere because, as you know, I will lynch you with my special set of skills. And when we come back, my darlings, prepare yourselves. All I will say is, prepare yourselves, stand by your beds, brace your ears, because I am going to play you something that's going to shake you to your core. Right, my darlings, my name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
I got to tell you, DeSantis' stock this week has cratered. As a matter of fact, I'll give you some inside baseball here. I actually heard this from somebody yesterday. I'm not saying who, not saying it's true. Could very well be, especially after this week. Ron DeSantis has been backed by some big money, especially the Koch money, Koch brothers, who really seem to run the nasty elites in the GOP side. They've been backing him. I've heard this week they stepped away. So they're not happy with what's going on. They can see it's a train wreck. And it's been a train wreck this week for DeSantis. He's apparently wanting to run for president, but he's in a dilemma because if he announces, then he has to give up his governorship. And he's current governor of Florida, as many people know. So he doesn't want to do that. But on the other hand, he's running around talking about running for president without announcing it because he can't. So he looks really weak. It just looks really bad. So that's a bad thing. And it shows some integrity issues, too. Either do it or don't. You know, either get in and do it or just say you're not going to do it and don't do it.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy
is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What was more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left we're trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem, except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden. Then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
Stay with Katie Hopkins when you have something to say. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Perhaps what you thought you might be hearing here at TNT Radio. Certainly not my normal call sweep. This whole noise just gives me the heebie-jeebie-weebies. It reminds me of being in Israel, where the Palestinians blast the call to prayer so loudly so that it really upsets their Jewish neighbours. But this, in fact, was an example of the sort of noise coming out of Bute House in Scotland yesterday. Yes, Bute House in, yes, Scotland. Yes, in Europe. Yes, in March in 2023. What do you think the first thing that Hamza Youssef, who's just been anointed as leader of Scotland, what do you think was the first thing that Hamza Youssef decided to do when he walked into Bute House, a glorious place of ceremonial and historical significance to the Scottish people? What do you think that was the first thing he did? And of course, it was stand with his family in prayer. I'm going to read you his tweet. My family and I spending our first night in Bute House after today's parliamentary vote. A special moment leading my family in prayer in Bute House, as is customary after breaking fast together. And there we have a picture of Hamza. And in the background there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Muslim men in Bute House stood in prayer. So all men, all, I'm guessing, I'm suggesting Pakistani Muslim men. I have no way of knowing that. But I'm just 5, 6 men then in prayer. And that's the very first post made by Hamza Youssef from the heart of Scotland, pushed out to the Scottish people. And this is a guy that won by 52% of the vote. This is a guy that called for unity. This is a guy who preached about working together. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think about him pushing this as the very first thing, the very first thing that he did in that special ceremonial place. Do give me a call if you have a view on Hamza Yousef. Do get involved on the chat, tntradio.live. Let me know about what you think about the very first, the sort of the moment of maximum attention being put on Hamza, and his choice was not only to do his private prayers, which I'm sure, you know, private prayers fine, but then to push that out onto Twitter and to make the point that this is what is customary after you break the fast in this place, in this heart of your land. I can't help it. I can't, it just feels so wrong and on so many levels. And I actually personally don't believe this has anything to do with being anti-Islam. I think this has everything to do with the hypocrisy and the double standard at play. This is the Animal Farm bit where the pigs agree. We're all equal, yes, 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 yes. But some are more equal than others, right? Yes, yes. Some are more equal. Because this is celebrated. His picture is celebrated. All the typical crowd that you might expect are jumping on, going, what an amazing thing. Inshallah, you'll do great. I'm so proud of you. This is so significant. This is such a ceremonial moment. This is such a moment for our people. May you succeed in making Scotland a prosperous nation. Mashallah. I mean, so that's all that those people piling on, being super thrilled that we have the Islamic prayer being, you know, held at Bute House. But you know what? The lady that he beat, and I put that in inverted commas because there's a few other things I want to tell you about certain other relationships that aren't necessarily being spoken about behind this Pakistani Muslim individual who has been elevated to leader of an entire nation. But is that he seems to be provoking people with this picture. I believe he knows exactly the impact of putting that picture out as the first picture. This guy is no fool when it comes to PR. The second thing is he beat his rival. Let's go with the idea that he beat his rival fair and square by some democratic process. Let's go with that because that's a good thing to go with for the purposes of today. He beat her, so 52-48. I'm thinking that if Kate Forbes, who's the lady that he beat in this way, if she decided to have her first thing, as she wafted in there with her family, if her first thing was to do a Christian prayer, or if we go back in time, Maggie Thatcher, you know, for example, if she had had some sort of prayer ceremony as her first moment at number 10, we would have all gone, well, that's a bit weird. You know, we've elected her to be a politician. We've elected her for her policies. We've elected her to sort this stuff out. The same with Theresa May, right? If Theresa May went in, I don't know why I'm picking female leaders at this point. Any leader, Boris Johnson, Rishi Sunak, for him, he's a Indian, he's a Hindu. If anybody had launched into some kind of dramatic prayer moment, had a picture taken and made that their first post, that would have been so strange. But that wouldn't have gone over well. And I would go as far as to say that in my country now, in the UK, it simply wouldn't be tolerated. It wouldn't be okay for a Christian person to take a picture of themselves praying and put it online. It certainly wouldn't be okay for a leader of a party that just took over and was standing in the home of political power to make the first thing that they do have a prayer. Just as it's not okay when we have a street preacher who's a Christian and is just maybe reading from the Bible, that ends up with an arrest here. Just as when there's protest about LGBT teaching, Christian parents don't have the ability to do anything about it. We don't have a voice. We're not powerful enough. Being a Christian isn't the right answer. It doesn't hold the reins or finances of power. But when Muslim parents protest, they are listened to. Or when a Muslim wants to show their prayer, it's celebrated, it's championed. Just as Sadiq Khan, for the start of Ramadan, used the budgets accorded to him as mayor of London to project lights into the skies across London to mark the start of Ramadan. So our capital city, the British capital city, and for Londoners, their capital city, marking Ramadan with a light display, despite the fact that historically, of course, we were a Christian nation, even though latest demographics show that, sadly, Christianity is no longer the number one religion in the UK. That has been overtaken by all others. And just as Sadiq Khan has an Eid party to commemorate the ending of Ramadan in Trafalgar Square. So Trafalgar Square is dedicated to Muslims in London with an Eid party. And now we have Hamza taking over Bute House. And the first thing he does is a prayer ceremony. And you can see the optics of all of this. You can see the hypocrisy of all of this. And you can see why it's so worrying for someone ordinary like me or for other ordinary people when you can feel, and it's something you're not allowed to say in my country, you're not allowed to say that my country is being, has been systematically and strategically taken over. You cannot say that here in the UK under actually rules brought in by Hamza Yousaf. That would be seen as stirring up hate. And so the very guy that's now marking his territory in Bute House is the same guy that brought in the rules that say any criticism of that is stirring up hate. And you see how cyclical and tied together all of this strategic planning is. Let me tell you about his special relationship as well with the lady, in inverted commas, that he's just made Deputy First Minister and given her the finance brief. So not only is she First Minister, she also has the finance brief. She is called Shona Robinson. I always want to say Robinson, but that's because we use Robinson so often, right? Shona Robinson. Now, some things about Shona Robinson that aren't being massively talked about at the moment, but I'm thinking maybe they should be, given she's just been made the second most important political figure in Scotland as Deputy First Minister, and she's been given the finance brief. So she's been given two, effectively, of the most important positions that there are. What do you think happened with Shona in her last brief? What do you think happened to Shona Robinson when she was health minister? What do you reckon? And you'd be right. She had to step down. She quit. Because the failings of Shona Robinson were so epic, so quantifiable and so industrial level awful that she was forced to step down. She was forced out of her very last position because she was so awful at it. And her reward for being so awful at it is that she got the top two positions in Hamza Yousaf's cabinet. And who do you suppose, good people, is the friend, the very best friend, the closest colleague of Shona? Who do you suppose Shona, who now has the top position besides Hamza in Scotland, who do you suppose is her very best friend? Who is it, do you think, that she's known since they went to university together? Who is it she's known for 2.5 decades? Oh, and you'd be right. Nicola Sturgeon, the ginger dwarf from the north. So Nicola Sturgeon, whilst showing to the cameras that she has decided that now is the time for her to leave, has managed to install, allegedly, and the allegations are coming from me, Shona as the second most important person in Scotland, so that as she walks out, she's essentially left a version of herself, absolute access, absolute privilege of power, still sits with Nicola because she has shown her at the right hand of Hamza, also with her sticky little fingers on finance and access to finances. And then who do you suppose is one of the best friends of Shona and also worked for Shona? Who do you suppose is closely linked to Shona other than Nicola Sturgeon, the gender dwarf from the north, who just had to get forced out because her gender recognition bill kind of saw the end of her? Yes, Hamza Yousaf's wife. Hamza Yousaf's wife worked for Shona. Shona is bestest friends, goes back 2.5 decades, of Nicola Sturgeon. Nicola Sturgeon now has access to huge power still via Hamza. She managed to get Hamza put in. And the very thing that brought down Nicola Sturgeon was the gender self-ID, right? Pushing through, literally forcing through gender self-ID that says you only have to be 16 to recognize yourself as a different gender. You don't have to go and see a psych or be assessed to decide that you're a different gender. You don't have to live with a different gender for more than 18 months anymore. You can do it since Tuesday. If you wake up on Wednesday and decide that you're now a different gender and you're 16 years old, you're still a baby, really. But tomorrow you want to be a man, you can self-ID as a man. Or if tomorrow you want to be a woman, you can do that. They've thrust that through. That's what got rid of Nicola Sturgeon. Who do you think put that bill through? Who do you think headed up the gender self-ID bill? You got it. Shona. So the thing that saw the downfall of Nicola Sturgeon was headed up by Shona. Shona has been put in at the right hand of Hamza. Shona is best friends with Nicola Sturgeon, and it means that that bill will continue to be pushed through because that's why Shona is sitting there. And none of this is being connected or talked about in any of the press. None of this is being said. And it's the simplest thing. The dots on this are as easy to connect as anything. And no one will talk of it because it will make people wonder, does democracy really exist? Does my vote really count? Or is this a network of buddies that all look after each other? And finally, from Hamza, the guy that said he's about unity, he's about people working together, he's about rebuilding, he's about one team. What do you think he did to the lady who allegedly got 48% of the vote? What do you think he did to his closest rival, who is beloved by many people, who would not have forced her religion down the throats of anyone because we're not allowed to in our own country anymore? What do you think he did to that good lady who nearly beat him but wasn't allowed to beat him because of this setup that we've just seen? He demoted her instantly to some tawdry position as Minister for Rural Affairs, pushing her way out to the backs of beyond so she could look after a few trees. And thankfully, the one woman with a semblance of a spine, thankfully she told him to stick it where the sun don't shine. And that, my friends, is the very sorry tale of what's actually just gone on in Scotland and what's happened with the election, would we say, or would we say putting of Hamza Yousaf, the first Pakistani Muslim, to head a Western democratic nation. He is now installed. Sturgeon has her person at his right hand, and he has begun the whole thing with a call to prayer. These are dark times, but fear not, good people, because we lead with light and we lead with laughter. And we'll be back right after this commercial break, where I want to talk about how we need to stop putting ourselves down. Do join me, do join the conversation. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
James O'Keefe has struck pay dirt again. After delightfully naming his new organization O'Keefe Media Group, or OMG, O'Keefe has uncovered a massive election financing scandal using Federal Election Commission data. Apparently, dozens, if not more, unsuspecting Act Blue donors have had their identities stolen, and tens of thousands of donations, totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars, have been made in their name and without their knowledge. Who is making these donations? Where is the money coming from? Is it tied to the money laundering scandal in Ukraine, where taxpayer dollars were used to purchase FTX crypto, which was then donated back to Democrat coffers? We can count on one thing: the top-to-bottom corrupt DOJ and FBI won't be investigating, nor will the New York Times, WashPo, or any of the major media. Thank heaven we have people like James O'Keefe on the job and on the scene to bring the truth to light. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Like Bob Marley said.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. In the UK, call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
It absolutely does. 033-024-1026. If you're sat with me on this side of the pond here in the UK, do give me a call. I would really love to hear from you in this segment of the show, because it's kind of a big one. And it's about how, I don't want to say how we're all feeling right now, how you're feeling right now. It's just about this weird underlying feeling of being beaten up. And then watching people carrying this around with them. You know, I say, and I've said, that I believe lockdown and all of that last 3 years, I mean, everything was a mass injury event, and that people are walking around carrying these injuries. And at no place do I see these surface more often than when I'm out and about meeting with groups. And because we laugh so much together, and because people feel so much better together, and because people spend an evening sat amongst their own, they sort of, I don't know, the guard comes down. And I see people's shoulders go down and they're having a lovely time and then they're laughing. But then often people end up also crying, because I think people are carrying around, right, above their heads or behind their eyes or however you imagine it, like these big, like water troughs, you know, like when you go to a water cooler thing and there's that big plastic container of water. That's how I see people sometimes. Like I see that they're carrying that above their eyes or like above their little hearts. And then when it's almost like when a valve is released, because suddenly they feel comfy for the first time in ages, you know, suddenly they're not having to be careful or mind what they say or worry about, did that person think I looked at them different, or how do I get around that person without touching them? So in case they're, and is that person, am I too close to this person? And all the weirdness that got deep set into people over the last little while, I see how it's changed people. It's made them anxious around people because they don't want to get shouted at, because there was just all that snarling. People who loved having a rule that they could tell someone else, people that loved the power of it, people that loved making you feel like you were the problem, people that loved making other people feel smaller. And I see it everywhere I go, everywhere. And we recently had Mothering Sunday here in the UK. And I know that date is not universal. We all have different Mothering Sundays on different dates of the calendar. And I want you to take a listen in a moment to this. So I was out walking my lions, and I was gripped by this. I just met a lady, actually, who I knew in the woods. And it happens a lot to me everywhere I go. And she had just had the worst time. And she was talking of herself in the worst way. And it angers me so much that people have been so put upon that they make themselves feel so beaten up, right? It makes me cross. because government's job was supposed to make people feel better and to build them up and to make their life really good. And so it makes me angry as a person. So this clip came off the back of me walking the lions in the woods. It's Mothering Sunday. And I was having a bit of a rant. So take a listen to this. This is Mothering Sunday here in the UK.
Quick one on Mothering Sunday to all the real mums out there. And I'm not talking about the Insta mums who post pictures of their family whilst wearing essentially a lot of shapewear or beige. And I'm not talking about the NCT mums drinking coffee together in Costa very noisily or making frigging fruit kebabs. I'm talking about the real mums who were told their kid would never make it or wouldn't live past a week. Real mums who were called to reception to be told two instances of showing the front bottom. Real mums who maybe lost a kid sometime at a junction on a busy road and the kid had to be returned to them by Waitrose. Real mums who had to live through their kid dating someone who was an utter bell end and you simply wanted to thump, but you had to pretend to be nice to them and give them a lift home. Real mums who kind of gave themselves a big present when one of their kids turned 18 because they simply made it through alive. And to all the real mums whose kids no longer speak to them because you're obviously a wanker having done everything for them all their lives, good on you. Maybe those kids will make the right decision and come back to you. And if they don't, keep doing what you bloody well do. Because if you vaguely made it out of motherhood almost in one piece, and maybe you had three or four kids to start with and you ended up with two, well, I still think that's pretty awesome. And if during that period, the sheer torment that is motherhood, you managed to in any way keep shaving your legs or managed to stay married to some kind of husband, or maybe you managed to stay sane or didn't become an alcoholic or be addicted to morphine. I've had various engagements with that. Or maybe you even managed to keep making half an effort, cleaning your house and shaving your legs as well. I say bloody good on you. It's mothers, ordinary mothers like you, that make this country what it is. So don't you dare look in the mirror today and think, oh God, you're old. Oh God, you look awful. Look in that mirror and say, yes. Yes, I did it. I nearly kept my kids alive. Only some of them hate me. And I've done bloody well. Happy Mother's Day to you.
So I apologise for the sound quality, but you know what? I think that's part of the rugged charm of this hour, and that's what I've decided, so we'll go with that. But I recorded that on the walk, so there's plenty of huffing and puffing, and then the wild winds of the West Country taking over. But it's that kind of sense that I think is the truth of where we're at, is that we need to start deciding enough of what happened before, enough of the past, enough of the way that you were made to feel, enough of being told what you should be feeling, enough of trying to make yourself small, right? Enough of trying not to be in anyone's way. I think actually the opposite is true. I think we need to be bigger. I think we need to be more in people's way. I think we need to be less apologetic. I think we need to be grander than ever that we were in order to start trying to make all of ourselves feel better. I'm just reading you guys on the chat. Myself and chums are always full of laughter, as it's a great therapy and a relief. But sometimes it can be very hard. As bad as things are, keep smiling. And I think that is it. It is sometimes it does feel, people feel beaten down and then they look down and then they are told to be smaller and they do that. Whereas actually, I think every time we gather in a room and we manage to laugh together, so if I can get 1,000 people together and we laugh, there's such power in that. It reminds me of the James Bond thing where, you know, without wishing to go into too many details, they cut out the bottom half of the chair and then swing a large brick or similar into his testicles. I mean, not that I've watched that on repeat many, many times, but the fact that each time that he's punished in that way, he laughs or he says, "Oh, that's a good scratch, you know, left a bit." That's exactly the kind of attitude that I think we need if we're going to see our way through. The reason I wanted to talk about this hour is that the comments that I get, the emails that I get, are exactly this kind of thing about how people sort of blame themselves, particularly women. I will say that. I'm just reading from this lady, Rebecca, here. Thank you, Rebecca. "I'm patting myself on the back for walking out of my house. Yet again, another date on the calendar doesn't seem to mean anything in our house." Well, I replaced the word jack shit for anything. I thought that was good. "I disappear for 4 hours. I've drowned myself in tea and scones and left the kids with the husband, who I'm wondering whether I should divorce because I've had enough. To return home, I was asked, 'Did you get any shopping as we've run out of tea bags?' I very calmly replied, 'No, I didn't get any shopping,' and he's still alive." You see, it's the grind of the thing on top of the feeling of being unappreciated, on top of what went on for 3 years or 4 years where you were expected to be this and that and a lockdown person and a wife still 24/7. I never signed up to be married 24/7 either. No way. That is not how I agreed to be married. And you were supposed to also be a teacher. Then you were supposed to have a medical understanding. And then you were supposed to, you know, be the one that was delivering people off to get tested for this, that and the other, even though you didn't agree with it. Thank you, Katie, for so much for what you just said. "I was struggling to get out of bed this morning, weighed down by many issues with my experiences of motherhood. You've made me get up, put some slap on and face the day. So glad to be part of your gang." Exactly. That. This is the gang. You are part of it, whether you want to be or not, whether you would disown me in the street. I actually don't care if you try and disown me. I will attach myself to you. I will lick the back of your baldy head to prove that you can't get rid of me. I am like a tick on a dog. You aren't going to get rid of me that easily. Absolutely true. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Thank you for that very true wisdom and knowledge. "I'm a mother of my remaining two, and I'm very proud of them. I don't miss the others." I think what this lady is saying here, though, is not that she's killed the others, just to be clear there. I don't think she's saying that she's wiped the others out. I think what she's saying is that, as so many people felt or have experienced, you lost children in lockdown because people went their separate ways. Because if you were like me, and you didn't agree with the state injectable and you didn't agree what was done to us, we lost children, didn't we? Loads of American parents, you know, no longer have children that speak to them because of what happened and the divisiveness that was pushed so hard into our families. And I think that's exactly what has gone on. That's exactly what's happened. And that's why people do need to talk about this so that you don't allow other people to put what they think onto you. You know, I often think, with the many things that I'm called, and I'm sure you have this as well, the many labels you get called and the names you get called, I often think about those as if those are like post-it notes. I don't know what those are called in Australia or America, for stickies, I think, right? Post-it stickies, those little brightly coloured bits of paper that glue themselves on. So when someone calls you a name or tries to put a label on you, and it's a sort of, imagine it as if it was written on a post-it note or a sticky. And then imagine you, so they stick that on you, but in fact, that isn't who you are. That's just a label that someone tried to stick on you. And the glory of this is that you can decide, no, that's just stuck on me. I'm peeling that off. And sometimes, you know, and I really believe this is true, and I particularly believe this is true for ladies, is that other women who call themselves friends are not misused friends. I think they're the opposite of friends, actually. Enjoy making you feel a bit worse or dining out on your bad news because it makes them feel better. And I think we have a duty to ourselves to be especially aware of those people who call themselves an ally, but are actually enjoying torturing you a little bit more. And it's really important to me that you distance yourself from those people and cut them out of your lives. Take the sticker where they're enjoying your pain, stick it back on them and say, I see what you do. I don't need you in my life. You own this. Go find someone else to enjoy their pain. This is all about women sticking up for themselves, you boys sticking up for yourselves, and us as a gang making ourselves louder. Do not apologize. Do not explain. It only excites the bastards. Make yourself bigger. Make yourself stronger. And now, as I play the jolly noise, here we go. Look at me in studio working in tandem so gloriously. Look, look. This is magic. This is radio magic right here on TNT. Remember what I tell you, my good souls. Look up. We are all under that selfsame sky. You, me, we all hear the birds. And we will all be pushing forwards together. You, my darlings, are not alone. We are many, and we are stronger together. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.